Hello, welcome to The Honest Wargamer. I'm your host, Rob. Welcome to Stream Street Day 343. I know the exact number today. We are 21 days away. That's wrong. 360. That might be wrong. We're 21 days, are we? 21 days away from the year birthday. So I think I've got the math wrong there straight away. Good start to the show. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Rob. Today's show, I am going to be painting and hanging out with you guys. If you're listening to the podcast, it's probably just going to be some mad rambles, but I hope you're okay. Morning, everyone. How are you? Or afternoon. It's been a lovely sunny day. I spent my morning writing up plans for live coverage again, which is fun, like what the ecosystem of the live coverage world looks like for me, and therefore working backwards what graphics and stuff we're going to have to make over the next few months and other bits. So it's been a fun little journey for me, and it was also sunny, so I took the opportunity to be outside and not be inside the cave where I've spent my life painting. I am today painting this, I don't know, it's like a tree city? Oh, I don't know what to call it, really. But it looks cool. Anyway, so I'm going for this. Hey, Gitly, Tom Dix, MMX James, what up, Kelbar? Gitly, O'Reaper, almost in bender range of the Streakiversary. I know. We're very close. It's very exciting. When can I come up and play War Dollies with you? I think at the end of May, Gitly, I think is what we're aiming for. But obviously, depending on actual, no matter what the government says, depending on infection rates and other stuff, that's probably what we're looking for. Tom Dix, I just had some new brushes delivered, so can finally stop using Knackered Starter Kit brush. Wow, that's pretty impressive. I'm using the Army Painter Wargamer Monster brush, because it's kind of large, but not too... I never keep the tip very well on these, so... Hey, Ian Howarth, morning. I'm painting today as well, but I'm painting a wall. Wow, nice. Hey, Dan Brooke, hope you're well. How's things? Any news on the Super Series you can share? Not really, because it still takes a while to put all that together and work out when I don't want to book it in, basically, and it's stuff change around, so I'm just trying to work out the exact timings of that. So maybe Monday, Tuesday, I might know some stuff. That's what I'm hoping, anyway. Finished building some Psy Blissbarb Archers last night. Are they nice to build? Let's talk about the painting meta and how fun they are to build and put together, at least. I think that's important. Hayley Taylor, chilling with you while painting a Leviadon. Nice. Yeah, I'm painting up this... I keep calling it like a Tree City board, like a Sylvaneth board, but it's more... It's less a Sylvaneth board, because obviously there's not a lot of... It's not quite like a Wargrove. I don't know if there's any good terrain that makes me think of a Wargrove. Because Wargrove would be very much like... It wouldn't be very elfy. And this is more of like an elf city thing. So I'm interested in, like, eventually. At the minute, I'm just getting stuff done for the venue. And I think they're going to be some really cool themed boards. But after that, it'd be really fun to design some boards. You know, and just kind of be like, right, okay. What does a Dracothian temple or a coalesced temple for Seraphon kind of look like? You know, I know ziggurats and stuff, but what else is in that kind of like area and, you know, spawning pools and all that other stuff? That would be really fun to put together, I think. That'd be a fun project. Millet and Stoneflea, I painted a Lariel and waited for her stonks to pay off. Oh, baby. Mr. Ho Ho, what's up? What is the brown paint I've used? Very much like I've talked about on the show before, base coat of this was red-brown Montana. So Montana is a spray can brand, and this was the red-brown color. Really like it. I've dry brushed it with Steel Legion Drab, is the dry brush. And then I'm using some Vallejo Black Green for like the detail at the minute, because honestly, I think it's quite imposing. It's like a nice green color. But it's quite royal, so I'm digging that vibe. I'm painting Croak's meat shields. That's good. Those Saurus are super sweet. Honestly, one of the things I'm most excited about, this terrain project is a fucker, if I'm honest with you, lads. Like, it's a lot. It's taken up a lot of my time. I'm struggling to, like read stuff. Like, it's just a lot, right? Like, it's 80 pieces of detailed terrain, not just dry brush terrain. So that's taken up a while. Like, I'm not gonna lie. So some of these shows, and if you are listening to the podcast, some of these shows are just going to be me fucking painting away, or be like, what did you do yesterday? I painted all day. So I'm going to try and maintain everything at the same pace. But although exciting news, obviously we're going to be doing the live coverage next weekend. I mean, it's exciting, right? Like, I'm like, yes, live coverage. It's a TTS event of the Battle of Copenhagen. So hype for that. Same time, I'm like, that's 2 days not painting. Fuck. hey, Papa Peen, what's going on? Have you played Spellbreak? I've not played it. Is it any good? Hey, Kelbar, working out my Skaven army list. Before I buy the army. So, question: is Clan Scribe Battalion worth taking? I'd say so. Like, so it depends on what you like. So, worth and value are really difficult things to explain out to people. It depends on what your goals are. That's always really, really important. And is your goal to go 5-0 at a tournament? Then my answer would be no. I don't think a Clan Scribe Battalion could do that outside of like a really good run of luck and you playing a lot and practicing a lot. However, do I think it's a great way to build an army and play an army and will you have loads of fun with it? And do I think you'll go like mid-table? Now, normally, will I have loads of fun with it? Like, it's not I'll have loads of fun with it just because it's crap, but you'll have loads of fun with it because Skryer is genuinely like probably one of the most fun factions out there in the world to play. And the battalions kind of lean into that. So I'd say a Skryer battalion is a really great way to play an army, especially if you're just looking to kind of like theme it. And you're not too bothered about your performance. You will win some games, but you won't win tournaments. Now, that obviously, when I say you won't win tournaments, that requires everyone to be of the same skill level, and the meta threats that exist, like Seraphon, Lunath, Realm Lords, Tzeentch, etc., to be there and present and played by skilled players. Of course, if everyone's an idiot, and they're all taking top lists, they might still beat you. Gorkamorka. So Gorkamorka in the chat says all the Train Rob shows makes me badly want to get 3D print and start printing my own. I honestly think it's the best money you can spend. And if anyone wants any advice, the thing that I've picked up, I have four terrain printers, so PLA printers, which was all the money you guys raised over Christmas. And then I've had to send one back, and one has like a major problem, which might require it sending back. But they're two of them are Ender 3 2 Pros, and two of them are Ender 3 V2s. And the price difference is it's £230-240 for an Ender 3 V2, which is Pro V2. Oh no, an Ender 3 2 Pro, which is the older one. So that's like £220-230, depending on where you can get it from. And then the V2, which is the most recent version, that rocks in at like £280 here in England, at least, of course, maybe £290. I would go for the £290 version because it comes with a glass bed upgrade, which you would spend £15 on anyway, as it's pretty useful. And then I would get like a mounted springs, which I'll talk about in the future. So pretty good. But you have to remember that this piece of terrain to print on a single printer would take about 3 to 4 days. About 3 to 4 days, yeah, roughly, to print something like this. So as long as you're patient and you don't mind, you've got time, you'll have a great time. Hey, Speckles, what's going on? Same, but then I think of the time that I just don't have... What's the question? To test prints, fill and so on, maybe press start and go. Mandolies, honestly, wouldn't you owning a 3D printer is like being vegan? Once you have one, you can't shut the fuck up. I've seen this one game printers. It's impressive setup and the results speak for themselves. Thanks very much. As the owner of a cool 250,000 hydration tokens, it'd be great if they were the best money. Actually, hold on to your hydration tokens, everyone, and don't spend them. And the reason I say that is because there's an update coming from Twitch, and what that allows you to do... Actually, I don't know if it's live. I don't think it is live, but I'll go check. And that update coming from Twitch at some point is you can use your channel points to promote the channel. So you could basically make it go, if we spent enough channel points, like if we were like, right, today's the day, we're going to get on the front page of Twitch, we could spend all of our channel points to do that. Now, probably the front page of Twitch would not be that excited about watching me paint, but on a show where we've got some really fun stuff, like some live coverage or Like, you know, it's just going to be one of those fun shows that's super fun. That'd be a great day to do that. So we could save them up if you want. I do let my printers run at night. How's the path to partner? Like, if I'm honest with you guys, I've kind of given up on the path to partner thing. Like, our application is still out. I've told you this before. We have to hit an average of 100 viewers on Twitch every single day. We're doing that. We've done really well. And actually, like, the shows have been really, really fun anyway. Just, you know, we weren't far off that anyway. We used to average about 75 to 80. And now we've got a couple more people, and that's lovely. So anyone who is tuning in extra or has joined us or has joined the crew or any of that shit, like podcast homies that jumped in, any of that, like, that's all awesome. But if they don't get, like, they haven't got back to us now in nearly five weeks, kind of annoying me. I'm kind of sick of looking, to be honest. And like, and I also feel like, what's the right word? I just don't want to, like, flog myself anymore. I don't want to be like, get on Twitch, come and join me. Like, tune in if you want to tune in. Like, come and hang out. We'll chat the shit. Like, it'll be super fun. Especially days like today, when all I've done is stuff that I don't think is very interesting to talk about. Like, it's all been work-related. It's all been Warhammer. But I don't think any of you, like, I don't think it's fascinating. And then also, I don't think there's tons to talk about. 40K, we could talk about the fact that that they've put an insane price point on the stuff coming out from Indomitus, which is funny. Oh, thanks. Thanks, Desert Sketch. What up? It has to be 100 live. Hey, Chris Wallace. Hey, Rob, what's the best way to support you if you had to pick one? Twitch sub, Patreon, or donation? Patreon is the best way, if you don't mind. One of the things I might do, once events and stuff are running up, let's say COVID completely ends, I'm going to relook at Patreon and what I can do for Patreon. Because I'm not like a very Patreon kind of guy. Basically, I do everything for free. Everything's free, and I'll support the community and the hobby as much as possible. And obviously, I pay for the Once War Game website and all that other stuff. But I'm not very good at like Patreon content only. I don't really believe in paywalls, but maybe there's something cool I could do for Patreon only, and that's something for me to look at in the future. I think people jump on Patreon and support me on Patreon so they can support me, and I love you all for doing so. So thanks, appreciate you a lot. Those Indomitus prices are, models prices are mental. I agree. Topless Rob on Patreon. Hawkeye, I tune in most days while playing the streets. I appreciate you, Hawkeye. You don't think we'll be interested to talk about Warhammer? No, that's not what I'm saying. Like, okay, so if you guys want to know what I did today, I'll tell you what I did today. I've spent 2 hours on this so far. Boring, boring, boring. This is, let's see, show the title. Event Coverage Ecosystem. Yeah? Like, I'm like the worst. I'm like the branding guy that you hate. Like, I'm just a massive twat. Yeah? Event Coverage Ecosystem is what I wrote. And if you guys want to hear it, I'll tell you. That's fine. Desert Sketch, it's been an awesome 1 year journey together. It was an honor, great fun to do an episode with you. It was lovely. And hopefully come on again. Hope to do more and see you somewhere in the world on tournament in a pub. You are a legend. Thank you, Desert Sketch. You're a legend too. I hope to see you too as well. Like, I can't wait for you to get back to Tatooine and like everything. You're brilliant. Like, you're all brilliant. Like, I'm gonna live at events, either here at the TSN Arena or somewhere in the world. I'm gonna sleep on couches, travel the world. This is gonna be the future. It's gonna be great. Okay, let me tell you about what I did this morning. So one of the things that I have to do when we do an event, let's say we've got the Battle of Copenhagen on TTS this weekend. One of the things I try and think about is what's the best way to present the information that I'm delivered to you guys. Now, some of that stuff is in the works. Like, you've got like input to output, which is like a big, oh, fucking hell, this is going to be so boring. Also, I don't think I'm very good at this. So fuck it. Okay. Get ready to listen. Okay. So things that are boring. A list review show where I read 80 lists. Boring. Yes or no? A list review show where you take like top 3 lists that you enjoy. Kind of fun. However, you upset the 77 people who go to that event. Well, what's wrong with my list? Like, you don't fucking know anything or something. So the list review show, important, important. And that takes a while. You've got to grab all that information. You've got to look through it, see what you've got to think about. So I've done this here. So I've broken... Rob, please use an airbrush on that terrain. You're going to break yourself otherwise. I'm not good enough to paint with an airbrush. Like, I'm fine. I'll be fine. Coping strategies. Top three from each faction is interesting, but sometimes there aren't three. So let's say that there are 50 people at an event. Let's say, hey, Chris CB. I can't wait to come back to Northern Ireland either. I like the long list review system sort of for Grima. I feel like they're not very relevant, though. I feel like there's a better way that you could have as much information but put through. So let me take you through what I think is the best way of doing it. I spent all morning on this. So first thing that we talk about is the event details, right? The location of the event, the number of players. This is something we don't normally do, so I'm going to make a screen for this. Location, number of players, the rounds, and then the battle plans, I think, give good context for what is going to happen. Problem when they randomly roll the battle plans? Fuck. Let me see what you guys say in the chat. I personally like the 10 to 20 list reviewed, a few from each faction. Man reads lists. So thanks, Kinnegit. That's my point. I recall the drama in one list review show here in Oz where they just picked their mates list who did not finish top half of the event. I hope at least I'm a professional about this. Let's at least hope that. It's also hard, though. I've talked about this before. It's super, super hard to pick lists. Or when you're at an event and you're doing live coverage, let me tell you about a personal drama I have. Like, I talk about Benjamin a lot. Benjamin Sever, right? Like, I love him. He's a great dude. He's a good friend of mine. He's also a good gamer with good, like, good results with different factions all the time. Yeah? And also, and what's most important, with factions that require, maybe not Daughters of Cain at that point, but I'm sure he still played them very well, with, like, when Legion of Grief and some other wins, like, I think are particularly notable. So it's hard when he's at a tournament to not think, I'm going to put him on. Now, it's hard to go and find other people. Like, a good example would be at Bobo maybe 3 years ago when Laurie Huggett Wiggett was playing with Harvest Boon Sylvaneth way back in the day, old book. And I was super impressed by that. And I saw him and I chatted to him after. And I think I had him on the show. And I think that really helped propel Laurie to some degree out there into the world as like a Sylvaneth player and generally a player of note, which I think also Laurie worked really hard and was really like good. So sometimes you have to kind of like take a punt on people, which is hard. But doing list reviews in like a box from a German event, let's say, or I know quite a few of the people in Australia. But then even then, it's quite hard to find those people who like are good. So sometimes when you read a list and you think, that's fucking crazy. Like, is the guy a genius or is the guy an idiot? Right? Which is what, like, I thought of Laurie. But, like, I was, like, super invested because he was running Harvest Boon, which at that point, no one played Harvest Boon with loads of dryads. I don't know how he did at that event. I think he did okay. But, like, I was like, it was a heart pick. I was like, that's cool. And so, really, like, you... Anyway, my point is it's hard sometimes to pick lists out when you do a list review show because you're basing it on your, like, personal experience, and it's hard not to pick the people who you think have got some skills. There are probably loads of people who've got skills who I don't talk about enough, and I would love you guys to talk about it and just message me and be like, this guy's fucking great, he smashes it up locally, he's the one. And I listen to that. Like, Owen tells me about like this guy or that guy, like that works for me. So anyway, that's a challenge. Should you de-identify the list before reviewing them? I generally do. I generally de-identify the lists anyway. But the point is, so Aripa says, list review boring unless you have a guess what's in it before you actually see the list prediction review. All right, so let me talk the way I think it's most interesting, right? So event details, location, number of players, rounds, and the battle plans they're playing, because that will probably inform the meta if they're all like hero-based or monster-based. Maybe we'll end up with some lists that are more monster-based. Point two, the meta percentage, so, and kind of break that down into three. Sub-factions, not sub-factions, grand alliances versus each other, so there are like 80% order, 1% destruction, 1% death, yeah, like 9, then 18% left for chaos, right? And then break that out into actual factions, then break that out into sub-factions for those factions, and then just leave it there, be like, cool, let's look at that. Then notable personalities, I put that down as the next thing to explore, because, is that interesting? Like, so in sports, notable personalities is important. Let's say competitor A is turning up to the event, it's a big deal, right? Or is that not a big deal? I'm not sure. That's the one I put question mark, question mark, question mark. So I don't really know how to attack that. So if anyone's got any ideas, notable personalities. I'm like, I think it's important to talk about those notable personalities. But at the same time, you don't want to, you don't want any ego pumps. You don't want no slushy ego pumps, right? And then it's really hard to not be nepotistic when you talk about notable personalities. You hope the TO provides the information. Maybe in the future I'll provide a sheet to the TO and say, hey, give me some information about some of the players at your event. Tony Moore is well-known and good gaming personality. See, exactly. If Tony Moore was going to event, I'd want to talk about the fact that Tony Moore was going. Like, and especially what Tony was taking. Am I too big a deal to play a game on your stream at an event, Sir Speckles? Yes, you're way too big a deal. You're gorgeous. I'd rather listen to the analysis on a few lists than read through all the lists. Yes, it's Shazam. So, Little Chris comes to mind, of course. Little Chris turns up to an event. Pete, Colin, Stephen, like a whole bunch of guys. And then some of the communities I'm not quite as in touch with, like the Scottish community. Like, I need to be like more present and aware of everyone in Scotland. And the more I am aware and present of everyone in Scotland, the better I'll be able to like give some information, right? So I walk up to say when I say, do you know who I am? That's what you do, Tywin, in, yeah. notable personality is important as long as you don't dwell on it. As a listener, I'm rarely bothered by the name running the list, says Gitler. Gitly. I appreciate that. Okay. Notable people is important, creates a consistent narrative, and some people can follow. I would agree with that. Anyway, so notable personalities. Then number four, I think what I'm going to do in the future is I'm going to give each faction a screen. Also, big shout out to all the other content creators who are listening. Can't wait to see your versions of this. Love you loads. Thanks for tuning in. I see you. I see you. right, number four. Each faction with a screen. So, where before in number two, you guys, we did the Grand Alliance, and then we did the factions. So we did Grand Alliances, and then we were like, there are 10 Death Armies. And then we looked at that, and we said, in Death, there are 8 OCR Bone Reapers, 2 Flesh Eater Corps, and that's it. You're like, cool. So then, this would be, we would go into each faction. So we'd break out, we'd got OCR Bone Reapers, and then we would, number of players playing them, sub-faction breakdown, the most common units, and then the list archetypes that are there. So, OCR Bone Reapers are here, there are 8 players, 8 of them, are, no, 6 of them are Mortis Praetorians, you've got a Null Myriad, and you've got a Crematoriums, let's say. Most notable unit here is every list contains at least 1 Mortec Crawler with 6 of them containing 2. That's fun. That's like interesting, and that reads, I don't read through 8 lists, and you get a kind of idea, I think, which is most useful. And then just go through that for each faction. Works. And then number 5 is the top 3 lists, which shout out to Owen. I think he's come up with like the way to do this best. Top 3 list is different to head, heart, and wild card. I like that. I think that's good. So your head list, your heart list, and your wild card list, I think is a great way of doing it. And then number 6 is your feel-good stories. So standout lists or players or something, you know, something, someone's birthday or something. So I think that's my list review show setup, I think. So what do you guys think? That's the best way of doing it I can think of so far. You feel free to workshop with me. These are going to be workshop sessions now in the future. This is where we're at. This is what the Oscar Gamer is now, just workshop. I would rather know the win percentage with faction that they play. Something that Grenaldi we might be able to do in the future. List breakdowns with stats is cool. Number of wounds, strong's average damage, how much normally plays sub-faction, so on. List breakdowns in that detail are super hard to produce, though. What about house rules? Some can become a staple travel from tournament to tournament, like 2VP instead of D3. Yeah, I would put the house... Oh, add the house rules into the tournament coverage. That's a good idea. That's a good idea. Like terrain. Where's my pen? Right there. Thanks. House rules. Appreciate you. So anything that's particularly different about the event? Like they're allowing... what's that thing? Anvil of Apotheosis? Hilarious. head, heart, wild card. Love it. You can include a bit of every faction. That's great. Sports actually do best for viewership when there's one or two consistent top teams. Leagues focus on the stars and pepper in new people to find more stars. Thanks, Tristan. Appreciate that. Track strong units, characters in event, and how often they die. Okay, yeah, that's fascinating. Like the gods and how they die. That'll go into a different section. Because then the next I've got on the day coverage. So really you've got three, I see it as, three things I need to do for live coverage for you guys to make it as good as possible. There's the before show, so you're all prepped. You're excited. You've had like an hour of like condensed information that's not a 5-hour list review show. You're like, I'm super into this. This is great. I'm hype. I know what's going on. Then you've got the event, which there's still loads more things I'd like to do at the event, like all sorts of stuff. One of the things I put in here is game catch-ups. That's super complicated to do. For instance, like a round one coverage of like CP spent, points scored, units died. That's quite hard to do from a graphics perspective. It's easy enough to do from like a voice perspective. It's hard to do for like showing on the screen. And then you've got, especially because it's in real time, that's the major problem when it's in real time. And then you've got the event catch-up. So like what just got suggested. Notable units dying. Ooh, gods dying. I'm going to put that in. Thanks very much. Anyway, that's what I spent 2 hours on this morning. And probably hours left to go. Boring. For me. It's not boring for me. I love doing it. I just don't think it's very exciting to talk about. It feels like it's like someone talking about... I don't know. I feel like I'm sniffing the smell of my own farts. You know what I mean? Like I'm just being like an arrogant wanker. But I'm trying to make it good is the point. How many bodies in the list would be great? Yeah, so if you guys never saw... actually, does it work? Let's go find out. I don't know if you guys ever saw the breakdown that was done for Super Series. If you guys watched the Super Series and you saw the screen breakdowns for Super Series, they looked amazing. And we're going to be putting those out in the future, which is like the breakdowns, like bodies, number of shots and things, but it requires like... it's pretty intense to like organize is what I'm going to say, like very, very intense, and requires like some talents I don't have. So shout out to my man working on it to produce it. So yeah, in the future we'll be able to do that. I'm just waffling now, sorry, but basically it's really, really hard to just grab that data like randomly. Like you have to do a lot of prep work. Seeing if I can do this. I've got it available now, maybe. Have I? Hold on, guys. Let me see if I can do it. And I can show you boys in a moment. Something like this. So this is what it's going to look like eventually. Hold on. Let me show you guys. One sec. I wasn't planning on showing you guys today. Give me a second. So something like this. There we go. If you guys can see that. So that is your number of points. This is obviously all super wrong. Points per wounds and then wounds per... thingy, and then as you can see here on the right, there's just some quick infographics. There's 51 bodies in the army. There's 348 wounds. That's right. There's 51 units. There's 348. this is all wrong, right? But yeah, 51 units, 348 bodies, 822 wounds. There's 15 spell casts. It's a 46 drop list. Anyway, so that doesn't work right now. But it will work in the future, and then it will have stuff. So this is all getting sorted. It just takes time to organize, and we should be able to show that in like a really nice way. See Sigmar looking really strong in that list. Hey Randy, what's going on? Yeah, I'm painting this up. I'm gonna get back to this. Those are the Seraphon stats. That's it. Thought about it in the faction sub-faction part to add in the three lists in there. You could talk about a faction breakdown, than a list. So one of the things I hope to do, if we're doing consistent tournament coverage, we should basically be able to come up with an archetype list. And some of you guys who listen to this all the time and play the game should probably already be able to like create those archetypes or talk about those archetypes. We've got Fangs of Sotek, Seraphon lists. Like, you don't, like, the archetype could be, like, it's more skink heavy than it is Salamander heavy, but it is what it is. Mortis Praetorians with Catacross, two crawlers, and 40 Mortec. Like, cool. Like, you know your archetype. Yzinch, Host Arcanum list with Archeon. There's a great Bravery Shaman in there, or there's not. That's your your archetypes. Your archetypes are, we should, as a community and as the meta develops, really should be able to like talk about the archetypes ourselves. We should be able to get that. So I think reading the top three lists is less important. Probably there's another show in all of this ecosystem where it's just talking about those list archetypes in detail. So you go through that Fangs of Sotek list in detail and explain what's going on. So if you were going to a tournament, you were like, okay, I might come up against that. I think that's good. I enjoy hearing Warhammer's war stories, says Glowdan. It'd be cool to collect some anecdotes from the event, like the lone goblin left after a cavalry charge that managed to significantly affect the match outcome. So Glowdan, that's really, really important stuff to me. That's super fun to do. But how do you, like, you need someone to come up and tell you. And some people don't think their stories are cool. And I think they're all cool. I think that's, like, do you know what I mean? Like, someone needs to be like, hey, this really cool thing happened. And then relate it to someone. Which is why we normally have the infield reporter. Like, so Owen or Adam or whoever we've had in the past. Doing the infield report. And then you generally get some cool war stories going on at the same time. Is what I'm hoping. What are tournaments? I don't know. But I'm planning for them returning. And I'm excited for it. They might not, you know, it might not be soon. But I'm hoping. Anyway. Anyone got any other thoughts, questions? I'm excited to talk to you about it. Thanks for talking to me about it, or listening at least. I appreciate it. Like, it's really interesting for me. Like, it's a fun challenge. It's a fun mental exercise. It's also good that we're not where we were like last year, like a year ago, because we were staring down the barrel of like 100 events, and we were doing this like all day, all night, and it was like stressful because we weren't having time to do this level of prep beforehand. So this year's actually been really useful for like helping develop. I think at least the list review shows and some of the other stuff has been fairly useful and giving you time to think. So that's been really good, and I've massively appreciated that. I would prefer, obviously, that A, COVID didn't happen and everyone was super healthy and happy. Clearly. But whatever. Anyway, so I'm just painting terrain. So I'm painting this. I'll show you what I've got to paint. I've got this big tree to do. I've got to do that twice. I've got one of these. So it's like a hall, like a wood elf hall, which will look pretty sweet when I get to it. I've got some of these, which is, again, the same thing, but like it printed badly. So instead, I just printed something else. I rescued it, and I gave it a little platform, which is cool. So like a little wood elf platform. So, yeah, that's what I'm on right now. Hey, Pete. Oh, I'm pumped for T-Sports again. When can I recommend shit talking? Tom Gilboy. ASAP. I'll promise you. I'll try and get to it. Hey, Positive Victim, the type of content that's come up on these. Well, thanks, Darren. I appreciate you. Mainly because you can talk into a microphone now, Darren, is kind of why it's really stepped up. Arepa, question. How you doing, Rob? Mental health check. You need an online hug. Arepa, I'm okay. Thanks very much for asking. I appreciate that. It was a lot harder, I'm going to say, after New Year. That was pretty rough. It was dark. It was gloomy. It wasn't super fun, but it's sunny today and it's close to, I really appreciate the question, by the way, same question to all of you, of course. It's sunny today and events looking closer and closer, which is super nice. Rent is always a worry, that's obviously, but I'm supported by everyone on Patreon. I'm the happiest man in the world because you guys have supported me through all the lockdown. I think we've done some smashing shows. I think we've done some really fun things. We've developed like this amazing community. I'm really happy, like super, super happy. So it's all good. We've not got long left to survive, so then we're good. Hey, Neil Kerr, hope you're well. I vote Donald does all the infield reporting like a bald Dennis Pettis. I also vote for Donal, although I don't think he's allowed to do it the LDT. Mandolies, I'm interested in your thoughts on the 40k magic cards. Something tells me that's definitely a stonk to invest in when they finally release, although I suspect it will be hard to find. You would have to ask someone who's more interested in magic, I guess. Brilliant, I assume, like a good crossover for both people. If you're into both fandoms, it's going to be like your head's going to be exploding and you're going to be loving it. Really cool. Is it weird they're doing 40k? I guess it's not that weird, like, because I kind of think traditionally of magic being it's like fantasy-esque, I guess. I think it's better for Games Workshop and Warhammer than it is for Magic, because Magic's like a closed ecosystem, right? Like, this is our universe, this is IP, this is our IP, this is what we do. Like, this is the way you interact with our IP. Like, I think it would be much smarter for Magic to produce minis and produce themselves a mini game than it would to interact with 40k and put 40k out there. Personally, like, I think, like, all of these universes, let's just call them universes, exploring out, like, all of us, well, most of us probably like the Total War franchise, like the Age of Sigmar Total War franchise, not Age of Sigmar, sorry, the Warhammer Total War franchise, and we're all excited about, like, the old world, and then we're also excited about like any Space Marine based like computer games. Like, it makes more sense to expand your IP into other areas than I think it does to cross over the IPs in some way. Like, you know, but who has as big a like IP and kind of like backing as 40k, really? No one. It's huge. Like, once you get into it, like, you know, like, you've got the MCU and they're trying to do as much as they can to explore it, and they're doing some really fun stuff like Mandalorian and WandaVision, etc. But for every one of those, you've got some, like, I don't know, Ant-Man film. That's just a dig at Nathan. I just want you to know that. I'm more interested in, like, I think I'm less interested in that, and I'm more interested in the devs for World of Warcraft. One of the original people who's left that has left to set up, who created it, sorry, has left to start up his own miniatures company. And honestly, I think one of the best things that we could have in the community, like, talking about, Matt Taylor, lovely to see you in the chat. Hope you're well. You're such, and I hope everything's okay over there, by the way. I was thinking about you recently. I should have dropped you a message. I'm sorry. Yeah, that's really great. I'm really looking forward. Hopefully I can come over to Texas one day, because the Texas guys seem to have a great grip on, like, producing, like, some really fun Warhammer locally for themselves. So, Matt, I hope you're well, man. I wonder if there's a response to some of the big Magic the Gathering YouTubers suddenly picking up Warhammer. Maybe, says Scott B. Maybe they will hire Games Workshop to make Magic the Gathering war game, skirmish game. They could. That's my point, right? Like, I'm most interested in other strong IPs like Marvel Crisis Protocol and A Song of Ice and Fire. Can we take a moment again to appreciate how bad the end of Game of Thrones is? And the fact that none of us want to watch it or engage with. We're all like, the winter is coming, the North will remember. And then they, like, did the last season. We were all like, cool. That's a phase in our lives we're never going back to. But my point is, Warchief Gaming, thank you, Magic Horn. That's what we're going to be seeing. Chris Metzen's is who's doing it. So I'm most excited about another large IP like World of Warcraft getting a tabletop variant or something like that. And the reason that I'm excited about that is it creates, like, a very healthy competitive market for Games Workshop, who I arguably think need it. They need a good competitor out there. Like, it's super important that they get one and that there's a good level of competition. I mean, it's even going to compete with itself. Like, Age of Sigmar is going to compete with the old world for a player base in the future, if you think about it. Like, that's definitely going to happen, which is a bit sad that the fantasy is being split apart. Very much like during 7th Ed 40k, it was competing with itself in the Horus Heresy. Like, it was losing so many players to the Horus Heresy and to Forge World, who were just printing money, that they had to really big up their own game. Hey, Rogelio, I hope you're well. It's amazing how big Thrones was and how it's just utterly vanished from culture due to how bad it ended. Yes, agreed. Hey, JJ, what's going on? Got Marvel Crisis Protocol is a great game. You should try it. Wargaming Dad. Yep, I know. I know. I get told that all the time. So 75 pieces of terrain left to do, and then maybe I'll. But my point is, with Marvel and other stuff, is like these big franchises. So it's a good question about the Magic the Gathering thing, but I'm not very interested in like Warhammer going somewhere else. I'm more excited about other systems getting something like Warhammer, if that makes sense, and getting tabletop games and tournaments and other stuff, because I think that's genuinely really interesting. Like, I know there are there will be a Song of Ice and Fire tournaments, and I'm really excited to either watch some live coverage or, like, you know, talk to some people about how to do that live coverage better. Like, Blood Bowl is a good example. Like, I know that there's live coverage of that, and I know it's done okay. It'd be so interesting to see how that could be done better and more intuitive in the future. And thanks to you guys and everything that's been happening in the past 3 years of doing setting up The Honest Wargamer and having the venue, we're now in this position where we can start to explore some of that stuff, like, and we're finally not just scraping together some webcams and trying our hardest. We should be able to do as good a job as anyone, hopefully, in the future. Well, better than anyone. It's kind of the plan. I did see a guy in one of the 40k groups. I posted 2,000-point list for a view in a Magic the Gathering group as a result of this news, and they thought the Magic players would be interested in 40k, and he posted the first response was, get this fucking space trade ball. Game of Thrones is a lesson Games Workshop needs to learn. You can very quickly kill your own IP if you stuff up the execution. Agreed. I don't think there's a lot more invested, though, in if you're into Warhammer. Star Wars Legion should be much bigger than it is, given the IP. I think Fantasy Flight really botched it, says Pete. I agree. I also think that, let's talk about this in a minute. I know A Song of Ice and Fire is great. Everyone says it's great. What I'm saying, Lee Taylor and O'Reaper, is the fact that A Song of Ice and Fire's IP is done. Like, does anyone give a fuck about, like, a re-engineered, like, new Game of Thrones franchise? No one, because they fucked it up. They ruined it. Like, it was, like, you know, like, Star Wars made 3 mediocre films. Ah, oh, they're good. They're good. They made 3 good films. In, like, 30 years, people were like, Star Wars! Like, you know, hey, Scrivo, big love to you. Like, I'm an original series Star Trek fan forever, yeah? And they collided off that and a few films until The Next Generation, and then they've got this huge franchise, right? So it would be fun to see that. Like, but I agree. I think it would be more interesting if, instead of Fantasy Flight making Star Wars Legion game, if Disney were like, cool, we're entering the miniatures market. And you've got to ask yourself right now, this is really important, Games Workshop are making tons of money. They're a big investment people. You know, The Next Generation is not better. How dare you? Deep Space Nine's the best. Let's put it out there. But my point was, is that really you're still having a small company make a big game. Thank you very much, Asteroid TV, for subscribing. DS9 is the best. Yes, let's go, lads. But my point is, is that I think that if you had a large company like Disney or any of these guys go, cool, look how much the miniatures market is actually worth, we're going to put our toe in here, like, in big, big money ways. Again, I'm not like one of these people gleefully crying for the end of Games Workshop. I'm not. What I'm gleefully crying for is big business to understand, very much like they do with computer games. And in some cases with computer games, that doesn't mean that we end up with better products. I look at any game release, fucking, like, and everything EA does and all that other stuff. But ultimately, if they were like, wow, there's big money in this, we're going to see some good products come out for us as customers, and that is something I'm excited about. I think any time that, like, the tabletop game gets more and more invested in by other franchises, other IPs, we get closer and closer to someone being like, huh, maybe we should make a miniatures game, which is great for us, right? So I think that's important. I think the difference is 40K is a setting that stories are told in, so it doesn't matter so much if some stories don't land. The others are stories first, so if new stories don't land, things unravel quicker. Scott B, really good point. Whereas some of the other, I think they're starting to understand that companies are starting to, like MCU. MCU is understanding that it's a setting, right? And that they can tell cool stories or weird stories in it. And I think maybe they're understanding that about, you know, like the Star Wars kind of setting as well. And that's why we ended up with something like The Mandalorian, because they're understanding it's a setting. And then we're going to get to see more stuff, which is, I mean, look at Total War. That actually was a game made about a dead universe. And it's huge. So huge, in fact, that they brought the universe back. That's how big it is. Like, that's how much it's done. That's how well it's done that they have re-engineered it. Don't call it a comeback. Yay. Big thank you for the community in Mexico. We love the content. Asteroid TV. Thanks, man. And thanks to everyone in Mexico. Big love. Whoop, whoop. If ever you have a tournament over there, let me know. Like, I'm not sure what situation is with lockdowns and everything over there and how you're doing. But if you ever have tournaments, please get in touch. Love to hear about them. Love to know what's going on. I don't tend to hear much. I know a couple of guys over there, but that's about it. So honestly, anything you could do, let me know. I'd love to hear about it. Like, where's the biggest gaming club? Like, where are events normally held? Like, I just want to put that into like my map of stuff, because that's really exciting to know. I've just discovered 40K on TikTok and lost 6 hours of my life. Wait, there's 40. Why is 40K on TikTok? Rob, are you looking for some big baller to compete with Games Workshop so they can get their shit together? Oh, Reaper, of course I am. Of course I am. I'm not 100% in the camp that competition is always good, but it's normally good for consumers to a degree. Let's just put it that way. I think having someone make them sort their shit out would be useful, right? Because they have predatory business practices. Like, I'm not going to rag on them too much, but they have predatory business practices. Their QA is atrocious, and some of their stuff is just awful. Like, just awful. I'm just going to put it like that. Like, for whatever reason you want it. Like, I'm not talking about the cost of the stuff. I'm talking about the quality of the stuff. Like, if you're paying that much money, the quality should be really good. And that feels like that's an okay thing to say. I know some people are like, oh, you're always just ragging on them. And I'm like, Do you not want a little bit more bang for your buck? Like, fuck's sake. Like, I love Total War with Warhammer. I now love it even more. Does Rob play? I do play. But I've quit until Total War 3. Because I have too much logged in on that game. I don't know how many hours, but it's a lot of hours. So let's not talk about that. can we campaign for Games Workshop to be nationalized? I mean, we're going to need it. There's more. I can't wait to. Hawkeye, you and me can work in the plastic mines. In District 7. That's where me and Hawkeye are going to be. dreams for Rob and the Honest Wargamer in the future, says Bobbin. Mainly the Honest Wargamer. I would like to be the backroom. Backroom show to the TSN. The TSN is kind of like what I would like to do full time all the time, which is live event coverage, running events, doing all that. That's what I would like it to be. I think that's super fun, and creating this kind of like professional tabletop gaming world. But I would also like the Honest Wargamer to be Honest Wargamer, and I want to thank all my friends for always keeping me grounded in that way. And I would like to be able to talk about the game professionally on the TSN and then come here and talk smack with you guys. So the Honest Wargamer, I hope if the TSN kicks off properly and is huge, I hope the Honest Wargamer is just us lot hanging out and having a laugh, because that's really important to me. So that's my hopes. Yeah, the Honest Wargamer After Dark is what it is, because it's pretty like, it's pretty on the nose, right? I think my favorite thing about the Honest Wargamer is it feels like it's the podcaster's podcast. Like, it's for, like, I understand now that we really are for, like, the 1% of the 1%. Like, not only for, like, the competitive gamers or, like, the casual gamers who are interested, but also for, like, the people who know what's generally going on all the time. Whereas, like, you know, there's a certain category of people we're never going to touch with the Honest War Game, and that's okay.
The Honest War Game casted the AOS Worlds. AOS Worlds is being hosted by TSN. TSN is the right thing for it to be. Like, thank you, Zanj, for subscribing. The Honest War Game is what the Honest War Game is. Like, TSN is, like, neat, clean, looks good, like, is professional, is well put together. That's fun. Like, Honest War Game, we get to make, like, some fucking jokes. And I want that. I want that. I want that division. I want that for me. That's a me thing. I want to be able to, like, talk about an event, be really professional with all the people, have loads of fun. Professional does not mean not have fun. Have loads and loads of fun, but just not swear so the kids can watch and they're excited that their dad is playing, yeah, or that their, like, teacher is playing or whatever, and they could tune in and they think that's cool. Or they read those Warhammer Adventures book and they were excited and they're like, oh, look at it playing on the game, on the tabletop, and they're inspired, and then they become the new Chris Juniors and Toms and, you know, and Adam Mumfords and all the young lads who are, like, excited, and they're in this hobby like us for years and years and years. That's what I want that to be. I want it to be acceptable. And then I want to come here and call everyone a cunt and have a joke with you guys. Right? Like, I want Nathan to rip on me. I want Darren to come on and tell us horsey stories. I want Owen to make jokes. Like, yeah, that's what I want. If TSN is neat, clean, and professional, then why the fuck is that official WTC media partner? Clearly, Tom needs to educate you more than what happens at the WTC. You could say that we're going to try and fill the cracks, Neil, with some professional quality. That's what we're aiming for. I remember on Warhammer TV, every time you made a joke, you could hear a manager somehow sweat profusely. No one watched it. None of the managers watched it. They had no idea what we were doing or talking about. They had no clue. I should have tried to get away with so much more, but I didn't. What reminds me, when are the piss off dice coming back in stock? I don't know. I'll have to talk to James and ask about that. Thanks, T-Man Cash. Loads of love. As I've just started to watch a vid where another podcast is trying as hard as possible to call the Smash Book good, it's nice to have another show channel. And that's the other point as well. Like, the TSN will accept sponsorship, like, in the future. We'll probably be sponsored by, like, a bunch of people who you know. And some of the other stuff that we're going to try and organise is, like, big-name sponsors. Like, proper sponsors. You know, like, and that's no disrespect to anyone in the Warhammer world. Like, you know, like, not Warhammer, the war gaming world. But, you know, like, it would be cool to be sponsored by, I don't know, fucking resin printers, like Anycubic or something, or My Mini Factory, or, like, I don't know, fucking something. Like, those guys, some big sponsorship, like, would be really, really cool. And the Honest War Gamer can't take sponsorship in any way, shape, or form. It's just not what we can do. Like, it's the point of the fucking channel, from a free book to anything. Like, none of it. We just don't take it. Like, it's just the end of the conversation. We don't take it so that you guys know our opinions are our opinions. Even if our opinions, you're like, fuck, Rob, shut up, I don't agree with you. That's fine. You don't have to agree with me, but you know no one's paying me to tell you. And that's really important. I'm just sponsored by my dick. Anyway. Little side note. I don't know if anyone's interested in this. But little side note that, I don't know, I think it's an issue for the community, and I've, I heard about a pod. They kicked off the show by saying He Knights of Snesh were better than DOK. Okay, sure. I wish TTS looked better visually. The lighting and jankiness really brings it down. I almost wish units and terrain were more abstract, like squares with icons or whatever. Make it cleaner. I think Bane, Nothos, everyone's got an opinion on what they want to see, right? Like, it's super, super hard. I need to watch Vince's review of Snesh. Just realize it's 5+ hours if you watched it. I have watched an hour and a half. But having already read the book myself and already done a review show on it, it's hard, right, to be like, cool, I know it's shit. Like, a Vince goes into, like, minute detail in describing why it's bad, and I think that that's really valuable. And me and Nathan already did that for 3 hours, another 5 hours of my life. I feel like it's wasted time. I'd rather go into detail about the Daughters of Cain book and understand all the cool things you can do with a book that it has got potential than I would really try to polish a turd. So that's kind of how I feel. Marty, potentially we agree. what was I going to say? Oh, fuck.
something was important that came up in the chat. I remember it. What was it? Fuck, what was it all about? Don't polish it, roll it in glitter. I played Mice and Ash versus Tricked Out Lumineth. I've won barely, but it was up for struggle, says Mandollies. Yeah, okay. That's cool. That was fucking something I was going to talk about. Fuck. I'll fuck myself. I'm sorry. Sorry, guys. I lost that train of thought. But it was something important. But it's gone now. I don't know what I was even talking about. Thanks, guys, for listening, by the way, today. Dayton's going to be on the show tomorrow, so we've got a guest, which is fun. And then we've obviously got the Owen show on Monday. Looking forward to that. We've got their event results. Oh, big shout out to all the guys in Australia right now. Brizhammer is happening right now, Brizhammer GT, which is just a great group of people over in Queensland. Really excited to see. We're going to be talking about the show on... We're going to talk about it on the show on... Monday and seeing the results. The meta is fucky as always in Australia, but looking forward to seeing what that looks like. What's your opinion on the value for money in new kill team box? I think it's terrible. Like, end conversation. I think it's bad and they should feel bad. What do you think to the mini wargaming not playing the priority role in their bat reps now? I think they're idiots. Is what I think. The priority role is the most important part about Age of Sigmar. Like, most important part? Yeah, most important part. I think it creates so much dynamism. I think it makes it very dynamic. Very, very dynamic. Like, I really understand people are like, I hate it. And when you get double turned by a shooting army, like, it sucks. But the important part is, if you're a melee army versus a shooting army and you had no chance of winning that game, the ability for you to have a double turn to change the course of that game is really important. I think it's really good. It sets up so many ways to play. It makes the game so nuanced. I've talked about it all the time. I think it's super valuable for loads. And I don't think the books are well designed enough that they've written them with the double turn or the priority role in mind. Because I don't think anything they do is that nuanced. But I do think that it's quality. And I think it makes the game exciting and interesting, and you have to think so much more. I think it's really positive. I really do. Priority is really what separates it from 40k. It also separates it from loads of problematic things that you get in 40k, where it's definitive. 40k is definitive in loads of ways. I'm going to go there. You can't reach me. There is no way you can reach me. I am safe. I feel like, 40k, or not 40k, that's unfair. How about this? How about that when you play any turn, you go, I go games, you end up instinctively, eventually, more defensive because your opponent cannot do something. Your opponent cannot, and therefore you play more defensively. You end up as more of a defensive play style as opposed to all mega aggro. And even your mega aggro is defensive because you know your opponent can't do X. Whereas Age of Sigmar has got so many permutations because of the priority role that you end up you make very calculated risks. You give yourself a bunch of outs all the time. You're like, okay, this could go that way. But at a certain point, there are too many permutations. So you kind of have to go with the ebb and flow of battle. And I think that is really positive. Sometimes you lose games or you win games, you're not really quite sure what those pivotal decision points were. Again, really exciting. I think it's really good. I love the priority role, brilliant, and makes AOS unique. Agreed. If you want to start an event for AOS, what is your best do's and don'ts, says Bobbin. If you want to start an event, what are my best do's and don'ts? Be clear on what the intent of the event is. I think that gets muddied sometimes. Is it a competitive hardcore tournament? Is it a laugh and everyone's having a fun? And if it's a laugh and you want everyone to just get together and have fun, make the tournament the backbone of it, but make it not as important. Maybe put something in so it's more interesting. Don't try and have your feet in two camps, I would say. I'd say that's probably my most biggest takeaway for trying to do an event. They just need to make more scenarios that give advantage, not gaining priority. Agreed, Reaper. It makes the game more realistic from battle perspective. Battles aren't just like chess. Hawkeye, I agree. I can see many wargaming not liking it for content reasons. It can be very easy for the game to be dead at turn two with bad double turn. That's fine for not playing, for playing kind of not good content.
I would say that. So Bat Reppers are in a I'm going to just put my cards on the table. I think Bat Reppers are in the hardest place for the community. You've got a thirsty community that want as much content as possible. They're like, this army came out yesterday, play it. And even though they get advanced copies of the books, even though they get advanced copies of the books, talk to anyone who plays a lot of armies or plays a lot of games. They'll tell you that they get better if the more iteration, the more that they play with that army, the better that they'll get. And asking a person to play with an army and then jump to another army and then jump to another army and then compare them to tournament gamers, you are in a different world. They're just not as good. End conversation. They're just not as good. So when you have something like Art of War, where you have tournament gamers making bat reps, I think that's more interesting. But it's fascinating that someone like those guys don't get as many views as someone who's trying to do it more for entertainment. However, there's these two distinct differences, right? The more entertainment you get from the bat rep, which is cool, the less it really resembles what the game would be like to play at any competitive level. And the more competitive focus that you try to really derive from the game, you generally lose a portion of the audience because they don't really understand what the fuck is happening. I'm hoping live coverage covers the gap between those two places, because really what you have is you allow the competitive gamers to be really good on the tabletop and play their armies really, really well, and then what you do is you have that explained out to the audience, and that makes it more interesting. So that's kind of why that my process has been going through that for these years. I think that's more interesting. T-Sports Network. Thank you very much, Scrivo. Appreciate you. Thanks, Ange. Mini Wargamers just don't understand the game at all. They just pushed up their models and suffer a double turn and cry as the game is broke. Yeah, I mean, that's true as well. I mean, they write the list themselves. It's not like they turn up and they're like, oh, you're going to double turn me and win. They're writing it for a fucking battle report. They can write two lists that work well against each other. I've seen them play. They're shit at playing the game. I don't know what to tell you. Bring them on the show or whatever, I'll tell you to your face. You're not very good at playing Warhammer. Age of Sigmar specifically. So that's why you've taken the double turn out. I'm not trying to be rude. You can get better, but you have to learn to play. And that's the important part. AOS Bat Rep is a good go at keeping diverse army-wise. Yeah, but again, you just struggle, right? Lunatic PR to count when you play. Don't use it as an excuse. Yeah, rerolling ones have great bat reps, and it's just fun, says K-Dread. Yeah, into that. Again, very much like what I talked about a moment ago with events. I think when you're making bat reps, you should focus. Maybe that's why Mini Wargaming took the double turnout, because they're just like, I just want it to be fun for people. I just want it to be fun. Don't think the double turn is fun. Super sweet, because they've chosen a lane. They're like, this is our focus. This is what we want to do. I'm on board with it. That's cool. Same with events. Hey, we want everyone to drink jelly shots and everyone to come in fancy dress. You've chosen your lane. You want it to be fun. You don't care about the results. I'm really into that. I think that's cool. I have not played a single AOS game in my life, says Natch, and I really enjoy and started understanding the game by watching your coverage, even if it is usually competitive games. Thanks, Natch. I hope that we do a good job of that. There are better rap reps by other YouTubers, in my opinion, says Rob. That's super fair. Tom takes competitive battle to NA. Rob brings it to the Diary of Heat. I think bat reppers aren't given enough patience. I think it's so hard, so hard to jump from one army to the next army and be expected to play it well and understand it well. And if you were to talk about all of the armies in the game, just factions before you start talking about sub-factions, you're asking the impossible of a group of guys. So I completely understand why the bat reppers go down the let's have fun route. It's far easier. It's not far easier. It's not the impossible. You're asking them to do the impossible, in my opinion. I don't think I could do it. I don't think I could even come close to it. I don't think I could even come close to understanding how to play 22 armies competitively well in a shifting meta and landscape. That's insane. I would have owned MGW, says JBiz. I'm not attacking them. I've just clarified that I completely respect how hard it is, right? and the beer experts as poor experience. Yeah, it grows the market. That way Mini Wargaming are, and they do, they won't go out and win tournaments, but that's not their remit. They have helped grow our hobby, so that's a good thing. That's super fair. I agree with that. Yeah, I think that's super fair. Yeah. And I'm not trying to, like, when I say that they're bad at the game, that doesn't mean that, like, they don't have to be good at the game. Like, MMX James, I think Mini Wargaming is doing what they do. They aren't branding themselves as tournament players or hyper-competitive. Agreed. It's meant to be fun. Agreed. Entertaining, light viewing for people who like AOS 40K, whatever they are playing. Agreed. I don't think that any of them would claim to be great tacticians or players. They are entertainers. Agreed. Agreed with all of that. So I want that to be clear. I think it's what's on... oh, yes, JJ. I'm attacking them. move the PR, they are not playing the game. It says, yeah, Marty Hoy, I agree. Yeah, and also what freeze to get. So my last sort of thought quickly before I go, because I've been rambling too long and I've stopped painting, so I need to do that, is one of the things that I find interesting, because I looked at my YouTube uploads earlier, and there's a little button that you have to press that says that you haven't been paid in kind or in merchandise when you upload this content, and that kind of got me thinking, which I did not know. But when you get something ahead of time, like from a company, or the company keeps supplying you with product, pretty certain it's a legal requirement to say that this is a paid promotion. I think you have to say it. It's weird that in our community we haven't asked that of our content creators who are doing it. That's all I'm going to say. I think that's a weird thing that we're not doing right now, and I do wonder why we're not doing it, because it would be clear. Because I think it's odd. I'm a fan of theirs. I think people expect top tier stuff from them, and that's not them. They want to have fun. Roll dice, play a huge bunch of different armies, and they try to hit a length of games. And also, can we just talk about the quality of Mini Wargaming's audio, video, the armies on the tabletop? They all look fantastic. Like, I want to be super crystal clear that what they do is really well. Like, what they do is really, really good. They aren't useful for people playing at a competitive level, I think, and that's important. And ultimately, maybe there'll be some disservice done to people trying to learn how to play the game versus, like, I wouldn't watch their content at all or explain it to Age of Sigmar newbies at all. I wouldn't even say it existed to Age of Sigmar newbies. Now they've taken the priority roll out because they're going to be missing a fundamental mechanic they're not going to see. Hey DeviantDark, I thought quite a lot about Nopen. I think the list creator should not move into the focus too much. Then it would feel more like the list creator is just using the player like a hand puppet. When writing the list, skill 2 should be from writing a good list, and then the player can wrap his head around it. Make me take that up from the Falcon. I will, DeviantDark. Might be talking to him today, so I'll bring that up with him, I promise. I've not got to play yet, but I'd like to play with a tournament at some point, so I'd rather watch other content that plays more competitive-based battle reps. That's fair. It's been a legal requirement for a few years now, ever since the explosion of Instagram influencers, says Neil. That's just me talking about the thing. It's just weird that no one enforces it, right? Like, as a community, we're not saying, hey, you're breaking the law. Being honest, when I first got back into hobby 5-10 years ago, I watched a lot of Mini Wargaming and it caught my interest again. I don't watch them anymore as my competitive interest outgrew it. I've moved to competitive creators of Art War, Glass Hammer, etc. Super fair. Super fair. I didn't want this to turn into Mini Wargaming bashing, by the way. I hope that's clear. I'm not sure you would want to see the list of things this Twitch chat would create things they're willing to pay to do. Right, we're done for the day. I hope that there's been some mad rambles that are super fun in there. And Dayton will be back tomorrow, which is very, very fun. 21 days until our first birthday. I'm hoping tonight, tomorrow, to plan what we're going to do. Probably going to be a load of guests, a bunch of fun stuff. I'm going to do some giveaways. So that's going to be really, really fun. So I'm looking forward to that loads as well. Thank you for tuning in. Whether or not you've tuned in just for one time or any time, thanks for listening to the podcast. Thanks for watching on YouTube. It's been a super fun journey this past year. And it will continue beyond the year. Obviously, I mean, after 365, 4 days later, it's 369. Like, let's go. That's the real birthday. So looking forward to that. But thank you for tuning in. Love you tons. Have a great day, and I'll see you soon.